Hello, hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the News Gazette of Tuesday, November 26, 2019. We're going to start off on the front page where above the fold it reads, Attention Holiday Shoppers. If you plan to spend some of your hard-earned money hunting deals on Thanksgiving weekend, fair warning, some discounts will be better than others. WalletHub surveyed nearly 8,000 advertised Black Friday deals from 29 major retailers and found a wide range of discounts, with the overall average running about 40%. Near the top of the list for best deals were JCPenney, with an average discount of 61%, Kohl's with 57%, and Dick's Sporting Goods about 52%. Others with stores in this area and average Black Friday discounts of at least 30% included Macy's at 46.1%, Meijer at 38.5%, Office Depot and Office Max at 36.6%, Staples 34.7%, and Walmart and Target at 34.3%. If you plan to shop on the holiday itself, be aware that several national chains will not be open Thursday. To name just a handful, Lowe's, Home Depot, Home Goods, TJ Maxx, Hobby Lobby, and Barnes & Noble, although some will open bright and early Friday. Many marketplace mall stores do, however, plan on being open on Thanksgiving, with hours for most of them being 6 p.m. to midnight. A few mall stores will open even longer than that on Thanksgiving, including JCPenney, open from 2 p.m. to midnight, and Old Navy, 3 p.m. to midnight. Dick's and Field & Stream will both open at 6 p.m. on Thursday and close at 2 a.m. Friday, and then reopen for Black Friday at 5 a.m. And around the area, more Thanksgiving and Black Friday hours for some retails in the area include the Tuscola Outlet Shops, 6 p.m. to midnight Thanksgiving for most stores that will be open that day. Black Friday hours, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Kohl's in Champaign, opening at 5 p.m. Thanksgiving and remaining open all night, rolling right into Black Friday. Close will close at midnight on Friday. Gordman's in Champaign, opening at 3 p.m. Thanksgiving and closing at 1 a.m. Friday, reopening Friday from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Target in Champaign, opening at 5 p.m. Thanksgiving, closing at 1 a.m. Friday, reopening Friday from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. And at the Village Mall in Danville, closed on Thanksgiving, the mall's Facebook page is promoting a chance to win a shopping gift card for those who reach into a Santa bag at 8 a.m. Friday. And for another Thanksgiving story, the big front page story is headlined, It's a Win-Win Situation. Thankful restaurant owner says, I don't take anyone for granted. It's written by Deborah Pressey, and it's datelined Champaign. And she writes, No offense to the traditional turkey dinner, but for Sahil Contractor, Thanksgiving is all about how many chicken wings he can give away. For a fourth year in a row, Contractor will be opening his two Wingstop restaurants in Champaign and Springfield to serve free meals to anybody who walks in the doors. The Wingstop at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign will be open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thanksgiving, Thursday, for free food, served by an all-volunteer crew that will include Contractor, his employees, and others. Without our employees, this would not be possible at all, he said. I am very blessed with them especially. And when Contractor says the free food is for anybody, he means folks from all walks of life. "It doesn't matter what your financial status is," he said. "Anybody is welcome to eat." On the Wingsgiving menu will be box dinners, each one containing 5 boneless wings, fries, a fresh-baked roll, a dip, and bottled water. At the first Wingsgiving in 2016, there were 600 to 700 free meals served. And this year, contractor said he hopes to feed more than 1,200 people and keep this event growing every year. Contractor, who grew up in Arlington Heights and now lives in Champaign, bought his Champaign Wingstop franchise in 2015 and his second in Springfield 2 years later. Also a hip-hop recording artist, he puts in a lot of time on the road. His parents will be making the trip from the Chicago area to Champaign to help him serve the free meals and then head back up for a later family Thanksgiving meal at home. Contractor said he'll be driving north later to join them. This event goes beyond community service for Contractor, who handles the cost of the free food out of pocket. It's also his way of showing his appreciation for being in business in a community where people have many restaurant choices, he said. "I don't take anyone for granted," he said. Contractor said he's also hoping to inspire fellow business owners to do some Wingsgiving-style giving back of their own. "The looks you see on people's faces is the most priceless thing," he said. "That's what's going to keep this thing going." And our last front page story is about the University of Illinois from their marketing information. It's headline, "Taking Their Message on the Road, Billboard Strategy Aimed at Turning Big City Heads." And it's written by Julie Worth, and it's datelined Champaign. The sign proudly boasts, "This is our city, FightingIllini.com." It's not in Champaign, or even Chicago, where a certain private university has staked its claim as Chicago's Big Ten team, ranking Illini faithful. This is rankling the Illini faithful. This is a billboard near the St. Louis Airport, featuring a dozen football recruits from the Gateway City who are now playing for the Illini. It's part of a campaign launched in 2016 by the Division of Intercollegiate Athletics to better brand ourselves in St. Louis and Chicago, said Cassie Arner, the Associate Athletic Director who oversees marketing. Those are the two biggest metropolitan areas in terms of University of Illinois alumni, with more than 150,000 from the Urbana campus in Chicagoland alone, she said. St. Louis is also becoming a recruiting hotbed for the Illini, she said. Athletic Director Josh Whitman and Senior Associate AD Marty Kaufman wanted to have a bigger presence in both cities, Arner said. Athletics has rented 4 billboards in St. Louis and 7 in Chicago this fall, from August through December. The cost for the 5-month ad buy was about $100,000, Arner said. DIA also buys billboards year-round in Champaign-Urbana, worth about $53,000, she said. The cost of each differs based on production costs and location, but it ranges from $1,600 to $2,600 a month, she said. The U of I designs them and pays the companies to print and install them on top of the monthly rental fees. Fall is a heavy time for ticket sales for both football and basketball, Arner said, acknowledging that it's hard to quantify how much the billboards may boost sales. "I think it brings a lot of pride," she said. Arner also said the billboards may prompt drivers to engage with the program in some way. The billboards are along interstates or high-traffic areas, including several on I-294 in Chicago. In Metro St. Louis, there's one by the airport, one on the Illinois side, and one close to the Enterprise Center for the December 23rd bragging rights game against Missouri. The "This is our city" slogan is new, Arner said, We have quite a few athletes from St. Louis, and the number is growing, she said. Has there been any pushback from certain Missouri teams?
No one has said anything, she said.
There are too many recruits from the Chicago area to feature on a billboard. The messages there are simpler. A big block eye and this year's Join the Fight theme, or a giant football helmet. People are going so fast up there, it needs to be bold branding that you can see from far away and you can read more easily, Arner said. The Champaign-Urbana billboards, 4 print and 3 digital, advertise all Illinois sports. The digital messages rotate among several locations around town to reach different drivers and can be changed easily to celebrate a win the night before, for example, Arner said. And our last front page story is headlined, For Kids, Studies Results Hold Water. It's written by Deborah Pressey and is Dateline Champaign. If you want to help your kids improve their ability to multitask, try getting them to drink more water, new research at the University of Illinois suggests. When a study group of children ages 9 to 11 drank more water over 4 days, the kids weren't just better hydrated, according to U of I kinesiology professor Naiman Khan, the study leader. They also chalked up faster reaction times in a task-switching exercise done at computers. Also a dietitian, Khan said about half of kids in the U.S. are not sufficiently hydrated. And while the detrimental effects of extreme dehydration on the body are known, he said, what we don't know is how not consuming enough water on a regular basis affects health. Only a handful of studies have looked at the effects of hydration on cognition in children, Khan and his co-authors said in their published study. That's a concerning knowledge gap, they wrote, because kids can be at a higher risk for insufficient hydration since they rely on adults for regular access to water and have a higher daily water requirement relative to body mass. Khan said his research lab has studied the impact of diet on cognitive health in children, and the goal was to see if water intake would be important to kids' cognitive health, especially since water has the advantage of being a low-cost and available intervention in the U.S. To be able to leverage water would be a wonderful thing if there would be some benefit to cognitive health in children, he said. There were 75 Central Illinois kids who participated in the research, which was published in the Journal of Nutrition. Their hydration levels were consistent with what is seen on a national level, Khan said, meaning that many were already so poorly hydrated it was difficult to further reduce their hydration levels. The children drank a half liter of water a day for 4 days and 2.5 liters of water a day for another 4 days. They were asked to perform 3 different tasks at computers to measure certain cognitive skills, and provided urine samples to measure their hydration levels. Of the 3 tasks that kids were asked to do, only the multitasking test performance was impacted by water intake. How the kids performed on 2 other tasks, measuring attention and inhibition, was not affected. How much water is enough for kids? Maybe more than parents think. Among children ages 9 to 13, boys need 2.4 liters, about 10 cups a day, of total water in their daily diets, and girls in the same age group need 2.1 liters, nearly 9 cups a day, according to Dietary Reference Intake's guidelines. And that is taking into account fluids from all sources in the diet, including foods and a variety of beverages. Though, Khan said, the recommended sources of fluids is non-sweetened beverages with as much as possible being plain water. While some children may not be taking in enough water because they depend on adults to provide it, there are other reasons that kids living in this corner of the world may be insufficiently hydrated, Khan said.
Unlike adults, children rely a lot on thirst to tell them when they need to drink water. But what has been shown, he said, is that thirst is not a good way to determine what our hydration is. He hopes to get a better handle on how limited access to drinking water during school hours might also contribute to hydration levels in kids. Because children spend so much of their time at school, schools are one avenue for intervention, he said. Another avenue is parents setting a good example by drinking enough water themselves and serving water at the dinner table, according to Khan. And parents should further keep an eye out to make sure that their kids are drinking enough water on a regular basis, he said. So now we're going to move to the local section. In our first story is for the over 60 crowd, and it is headlined, "We're Designing for Our Future Selves. UI Researchers Challenge, Move Forward with Emerging Technology." It's written by Julie Wirth, and it is datelined Champaign. In many ways, technology has been a godsend for people who have cognitive disabilities because of strokes, dementia, or traumatic brain injuries. Google Maps helps drivers who have lost their sense of direction. Rideshare apps like Uber offer independence for those who can no longer drive. And online calendars help people keep track of events. But those apps can be complicated or confusing for people who haven't used them before, especially older adults. A new 5-year, $4.6 million grant shared by the University of Illinois and two other institutions is aimed at helping adults over age 60 with cognitive disabilities and their caregivers to deal with the challenges of everyday life. The grant from the National Institute on Disability, Independent Living, and Rehabilitation Research runs through September 2024 and is a collaborative effort with Weill Cornell Medicine in New York and Florida State University. The U of I share is about $1.4 million. Leading the project for the U of I are Wendy Rogers, a kinesiology and community health professor who studies technology and aging, and Raksha Mudar, a speech and hearing science professor who focuses on neurodegenerative disorders. Their team will work with physicians and engineers at Cornell and psychologists at Florida State. Rogers and Mudar said the goals are to understand the challenges that adults with cognitive disabilities deal with every day and identify existing and emerging technology that can help. Researchers also want to provide resources to ensure that people can take advantage of that technology, Rogers said. The potential is great for these technologies to help them, Rogers said. But there's no support for them learning how to use them to begin with, and that is part of what we want to do. The funding agency wants to attack the issue on multiple fronts, Rogers said, through research, development, and training. The grant will establish a rehabilitation engineering research center called ENHANCE, which stands for Enhancing Neurocognitive Health Abilities, Networks, and Community Engagement, ENHANCE. To assess the need, Rogers and her colleagues plan to interview 1,332 people, 444 at each of the three sites, and then use that information to guide further future research and development. The project will target three groups: people with mild cognitive impairment, who frequently progress into more severe dementia, people who have had strokes who often get better, and people with traumatic brain injuries who may improve, stay the same, or get worse over time, she said. Researchers question, how do we help them? Researchers will ask about what they do around the house and outside the home, as well as shopping, transportation, health, finances, and basic daily activities such as exercise. They will repeat the interviews several times over the 5-year period to see how their needs and experiences change, said Rogers, who will lead the assessment phase. The needs assessment will include relatives and friends who provide support and care, Rogers said, a group that is often overlooked. Interviewing patients at all three sites allows for a much more diverse sample drawing from the Northeast, Southeast, and Midwest, she said. At Illinois, participants will be recruited downstate, as well as in the Chicago area, working through CARL, OSF, and other healthcare providers, she said. Meanwhile, development projects led by Florida State will focus on two key areas, transportation and mobility, including navigation apps, and prospective memory, remembering to do something in the future, such as turning off the coffee maker, taking your medicine, or keeping a doctor's appointment. That tends to be very challenging for people with cognitive impairment, Rogers said. We'll be designing tools that will be easier to use by older adults with cognitive disabilities and that are tailored to what their specific needs are. What do they need to remember, and how do we help them? They hope to devise a system that uses artificial intelligence to develop one calendar to easily track health, home, and social activities. Patients would be able to enter information about an upcoming doctor's appointment and reminders for a pill that has to be taken every 4 hours but can't interfere with other medications, for example. Existing systems tend to be too confusing when entries have to be repeated or changed, she said. There aren't things out there that do exactly what we think we might want to do, she said. At the same time, researchers want to understand what this population uses in terms of current technology so they can take advantage of what is out there, Rogers said. We don't need to reinvent Google Maps or Uber. What we want to do is provide support for using those technologies, teaching them how to use it. That might involve additional instructions through an app on their phone that will walk them through the steps, or a video that illustrates what to do and helps them as they learn. The key is giving people autonomy and independence so that they don't have to rely on others to help them get places, Rogers said. If I can walk with the help of a map, if I can call a rideshare app and go somewhere on my own if I want to, it gives such freedom, she said. Other projects will focus on developing technology to support general cognitive function and social engagement. Social isolation and loneliness is a big problem, she said. Tools could help them remember a granddaughter's birthday so they can send a card in time, or remember when a son is coming over for dinner so they can make a dessert. Forgetting those events is dismaying, she said, and they miss out on the social engagement which is important for their mental health. The research team also hopes to develop partnerships with healthcare providers and the tech industry to develop new products. Rogers said tech companies are recognizing the need to help the growing number of older adults as the population ages. But I also think, unfortunately, their designs are still not guided by the capabilities and limitations of the users, and that's where we come in, she said. While the new tools are targeted at a particular population, Rogers said, they'll eventually be useful for everyone. We all have our own parents to think about. We also like to say that we're designing for our future selves, she said. So here is a Crime Stopper story that we're going to read. It's headlined, Police Seeking Help in Rantoul Car Theft. It's written by Mary Schenck and is datelined Rantoul. Champaign County Crime Stoppers needs help finding the person who stole a car from Rantoul and later got in a crash last week. On Sunday, November 17th, about 2:36 p.m., a 2012 Ford Edge was stolen from the 800 block of North Maplewood Drive, where it was left running in a driveway with no one in it. The car was recovered the next day in Champaign after being involved in a hit-and-run collision. Police need help finding the person or people who took the car or got in the hit and run. They also remind residents to not leave their vehicles unattended while they are warming up. Investigators ask if you have information on the car theft or crash that you contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS or at 373tips.com or via the P3Tips mobile app. Tipsters are always 100% completely anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers. All tips are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Tipsters will never be asked their name and are given a secret code number to use when checking on a possible reward. Cash rewards of up to $1,000 may be paid on tips that lead to an arrest. And here are a few briefs from the area update. The first one is headlined, Gift Cards Top Agency's Wish List, Dateline Champaign. Courage Connection is seeking donations of gift cards to give to its clients affected by domestic violence. The gift cards would help those clients purchase gifts for their loved ones for the holidays, the agency said. Courage Connection said it would be grateful for whatever donors can give. Its wish list is for $25 gift cards to local stores or Amazon. Donated gift cards can be dropped off from December 9th through 13th at Busey Bank's downtown Champaign location at 100 West University Avenue. And gift cards can also be mailed to Courage Connection at 508 West Church Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. The next brief is headlined, Exchange Club of Urbana, Urbana Student Recognized, Dateline Urbana. Zoe Bowers is the Exchange Club of Urbana's Youth of the Month for November. A National Honor Society member, she's also active in Urbana High's Key Club and Theater Program and president of its a cappella ensemble. Her resume outside of school also caught club leaders' attention. She's a choreographer with the Champaign Park District's youth theater production. She is a Sunday school teacher, a Salt and Light volunteer, and a member of Habitat for Humanity, with plans to take part in a trip to Mississippi early next year to help build homes. She plans to attend Eastern Illinois, earn a law degree, and become a public defender. Bement Village Board, Marijuana Talks Underway, Dateline Bement. Three of the five board members present spoke in strong opposition to marijuana sales in Bement and requested the village attorney to draft an ordinance prohibiting such sales once recreational legalization goes into effect statewide on January 1st. I don't think we need the sale of it inside village limits, Mark Henderson said. Woody Dean and Frank Coble agreed, although no formal vote was taken. As far as I'm concerned, people are leaving it up to the board, Dean said, referencing the nearly empty public meeting the board held for community members to voice their opinions on the issue last month. The board could vote on an ordinance prohibiting the sale of recreational marijuana at its December meeting. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with the first half of the News Gazette of Tuesday, November 26, 2019. I look forward to reading part two with you soon.